today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, it's a bit cheaper to fly to Tahiti this fall, and while California's high-speed rail is struggling, Florida may be adding a new private high-speed rail route.
At 3:15, we take you to Washington to Puget Sound to talk with and about the quaint towns and villages, great cuisine, and friendly people who live there.
Lots of people visit Manhattan frequently, and if you're in search of something new and fun to do when you're there, how about a pizza tour of Brooklyn? Meet Tony, the pizza guy, at 3:40.
In our entertainment segment at 3:50, we'll give you a sneak peek at a program that's become an annual holiday tradition in Sacramento.
All that today as we take you on an imaginary trip from coast to coast on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys every Sunday from 3 to 4 o'clock right here on this radio station brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. Mark is in Puget Sound. I'm here in studio, and boy, we've got a whole bunch of interesting stuff lined up for you today. As Mark mentioned, coast to coast, all the way from a slice of pizza in Brooklyn to, well, islands and Puget Sound and great places to dine. And if you've ever thought about traveling up to the Northwest, this is a radio show for you today. All kinds of great information. You can follow along with the program, TravelGuysRadio.com, as we have a list of all the things that we're going to be talking about and links to our guests on the program as well. And as we always do at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. So with Louise firing off the travel news music, ladies and gentlemen, with the travel news, Mark Hoffman.
All right, Tom, thank you. In the travel news this week, leading off, many folks who live in California have been to Hawaii, but some of them have never sampled the real South Pacific and been to Tahiti. And indeed, you can go to Tahiti this fall, just like Hawaii is on sale this fall. Tahiti is also on sale. Now, it's cost a little more expensive to get to Tahiti. Air Tahiti Nui will take you nonstop from Los Angeles. Of course, you have to get to L.A., but they will take you from Los Angeles for a special fare of $1,519. If you travel between November the 1st and May the 31st of next year, so if you're willing to go off-season down by the equator to Tahiti, Air Tahiti Nui will take you for a very special fare. I haven't been to Tahiti, Tom, since the early 1990s with some Sports Leisure Travelers, but it's a wonderful destination to visit. We went down and took a little island hopping down there, and it was really a wonderful, wonderful experience. Hope to get back someday. Okay, from out in the middle of the ocean in Tahiti, let's go to the other coast of Miami. In Florida, California's been talking about high-speed rail now for quite some time. In Florida, they're doing more than just talking about it. Maybe the difference is because in Florida, it's a private venture, whereas in California, it's a government venture. In Florida, a special high-speed train. Now, high-speed is all relative. I'll explain that in just a minute. From Miami to Orlando, you could be going from Miami to Orlando on a new Florida railway service by the end of 2016. They're going to use, interestingly enough, I thought, German rolling stock made in the United States. Guess where that rolling stock for this brand new rail line in Florida is going to be made? Right here in Sacramento, California, believe it or not. They're using some tracks that haven't been used for passenger trains for almost 50 years. That's 195 miles from Miami to Orlando, and they hope to be in operation by the end of 2016 using rail cars, if you didn't catch that the first time, that were made in Sacramento. The folks who make airplanes at Airbus, Tom, have what they think is a great new idea to help you when you're flying on airplanes. They have filed a patent application in the United States. And interestingly, the part of the patent application references a headrest for a passenger seat for an aircraft. And when you dig a little bit deeper into this, as some people who are a little bit more expertise in this field than I am, but according to the folks at Smarter Travel, Airbus's idea is to surround your head with kind of a, think a space-age sort of helmet, or a pilot's helmet, as you, if you will, mm-hmm. that might allow you to be able to be distracted during takeoff or cruising at high altitudes by giving you an out-of-body experience for part of your flight. So I guess what the Airbus people are admitting is that, yes, people are terribly uncomfortable in the coach section of an airplane, but we can alleviate that by making you pretend that you're not even there. Tom, you ever flown in an airplane and never had the opportunity before to be to have the airplane try to take you someplace that you haven't been before?
Yeah, actually more than once. I don't know what to say.
All right, one more news story here, and then we'll wrap it up. The Clear Card. If you know what the Clear Card is, it's a private enterprise. The TSA has a pre-check at airports. Some people are allowed to go through pre-check because they've paid money and been pre-cleared. Some people are allowed because they have high status with an airline, and the airline has pre-cleared them. Some people are just picked randomly at the airport to go through pre-check with TSA. There's another way to get cleared at airports, and there are a handful of airports around the country that are participating so far in this. It is called Clear. You can get a Clear Card by paying $179 a year, and then you can access the clear lanes at many airports. That includes San Jose and San Francisco are the only two in California. Denver, if you're a United Airlines flyer who flies through Denver, also Bush Airport in Houston. I guess connecting, it wouldn't make too much difference to you. You'd need to be flying in or out of that airport to be able to use. There are special clear lines, which the ones I've seen in Denver are reasonably easy to get through and fairly open most of the time, but the reason I bring this story up is because this week we got a press release that says Clear takes you into the ball game and out of the crowd. Now people with a Clear Card will be able to go through a special gate, the Marina Gate at AT&T Park when they're going to a Giants game for selected home games the rest of this year, including the Dodgers series this weekend. Folks are at the ballpark for the game. We'll be able to go through the special Marina Gate, go through the clear line, and get into the ballpark much quicker. So we may be seeing more of this as time goes on, folks being pre-cleared into certain venues and being able to giving them better, sooner, quicker access into those venues because they have a particular type of pass. And it's also another way in that wonderful world of fees and all those resort fees and service fees and stuff like that. This gives another opening for somebody to throw one in there on you. If you've got the Clear Card, why, then you get into a special line. Of course, the Clear Card at $179 a year, that's $15 a month. So you better be flying out of a lot of those airports and saving a lot of time for that to pay off for you. And that, Tom, is the travel news for today. When we come back, we are going to take you up to Puget Sound, where I've been traveling all this week. The weather has been spectacular in Puget Sound this week. And we'll take you up there and take you to some of the little towns, tell you a little bit about some of the small towns in and around Puget Sound. And I will mention right now that we are staying in a wonderful, spectacular old hotel made new again in the town of Anacortes, which is a jumping-off spot to go to the San Juan Islands. And if you're ever up this way, the Majestic Hotel in Anacortes is an old hotel made new again. And if you come here, you will find a wonderful dining room and some very exquisite rooms at some very reasonable prices. The Majestic Hotel, they even have a spa in-house up here in Anacortes, Washington, just as a gateway jump off to the San Juan Islands. Okay, remember to follow along with us today at our website at travelguysradio.com. You can find a write-up for the show and links to all of the important things that we'll talk about along the way. And when we come back, we'll take you out to the San Juan Islands. We are the Travel Guys, and this is News Radio KFBK.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Tom Romano with you. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations on the road. Let's join he and Chris Galloway in Puget Sound. Mark?
Thanks, Tom. I'm here with Travel Guys reporter Chris Galloway, and we are truly basking in the incredible weather up here in the Puget Sound area. You know, the old joke about Washington State is that there are two seasons up here, winter and August, and I might suggest that that joke needs to be revised now. There are two seasons up here, winter and August/September, because September is a great time to travel in Washington State. The crowds from the summer are gone. All of the folks are pretty much gone. You can have the territory pretty much to yourself at this point, and the weather in September is spectacular. We have been visiting for the last 5 days the small towns around Puget Sound. The title of this tour is Ferries and Towns of Puget Sound. So we've gone from Paulsbow to Port Townsend to Coopville, and today to on to Laconer. Yesterday with Langley and Mukilteo, headed out to the San Juan Islands tomorrow. Chris, it's been a wonderful array of small towns and great food all along the way.
Oh, absolutely. The bakery Knead and Feed. Knead is a kneading dough in Coopville, has the best orange roll I have ever had.
Oh, and speaking of bakeries, we had Sly's Bakery in Paulsbow, which is a regional. If you ever go to Paulsbow, it's across the sound from Seattle. We stayed in Bainbridge Island. Paulsbow is about 15 minutes away from Bainbridge, a wonderful old little Norwegian village. The bakery there was wonderful. We've had some pretty good meals, too, Chris, along the way here. One of your favorites was in Coopville that you mentioned.
Oh, you're talking about Christopher's. Yes, that was some of the best salmon I've ever had. And the vegetables, just everything about that meal was wonderful. Now, the chocolate mousse, however, oh, I'd definitely write home to Mother about that one.
On Whidbey Island, the little town of Coopville, if you're up here, Christopher's would be the place that you want to be. This, Tom, is really a trip that just about anybody can do. We're doing it as an organized group with Sports Leisure Vacations, but you could do this on your own, certainly, if you wanted to.
But you couldn't see anything. You'd be driving.
Yeah, that's true. One of the great advantages that we have is that we're in a motor coach, and the scenery is so spectacular, and the weather is so spectacular. And plus, crossing Puget Sound, we've crossed twice on ferry boats. Tomorrow we'll go out to Friday Harbor and see some of the San Juan Islands, do a little flight seeing. That's a little bit of an extra for this trip, but you could come up here, you could fly to Seattle, rent a car, and do most of what we're doing by traversing around the sound, because all of these ferry boats are vehicle accessible. All of them take your vehicle along with you, and many of the crossings are long enough to be able to enjoy. And Chris, one of the things I've noticed is that the folks with the ferry system have been the service, and boy, I'll tell you, it's a lot different from being in an airport.
Oh, extremely friendly. We had a lady the other day that, you know, ushered our bus right through, didn't make us wait in any lines or anything. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful people. And actually, that's something that all of our travelers keep saying too, just about how nice the people are in this region.
You know, Tom, we've spent a couple days on Whidbey Island, which is home of a naval air station that has been pretty important to our country's defense over the years. The folks on the island have a great relationship with the people at the naval air station there. The great thing about the scenery up here and about these little towns is that every one of them has wonderful restaurants, great places to shop. We found a shop yesterday in the little town of Langley, which had chocolate raspberry jam, which apparently is about to become famous in Martha Stewart's magazine in October. And this lady has already told me, the little vendor there yesterday told me she used to get 2 or 3 internet orders a month, and already chocolate raspberry jam is already, she says, yesterday I had 32 orders on the internet. And I said to her, how are you going to keep up with this? And she says, I'm making jam every morning now. Did you get a chance to try any of that?
I did not, but I did. I went into her store, and just the overwhelming smell of chocolate made me want hot chocolate, and I found some of the absolute best hot chocolate ever at Sweet Mona's right there in that same town.
And in Langley, and today, Tom, we stopped in at Coopville. There were ethnic dancers, Morris dancers from the British Isles that were dancing there, literally dancing in the streets. There was a little farmer's market in Coopville. We caught the tail end of a farmer's market here in Anacortes today where we are. Right now we're sitting looking out at the harbor. Of course, the weather has been 70, 75 degrees, Chris, all week long. What would you tell somebody who was thinking about maybe coming up here for a vacation? What would you suggest to them in terms of I guess, just a little internet research? And the best thing is to come when the weather is nice.
And slow down and relax. Do not get in a hurry. Take a moment, sit by the water, enjoy it, look at the beauty. Today in Coopville, for example, just such an idyllic setting. You've got Mount Baker in the background, beautiful calm waters. Just slow down.
Tom, the perhaps one of the best parts of this trip, not only the beautiful scenery, of course, the Cascade Mountain Range, Mount Rainier was visible in Seattle. Mount Baker has been visible for several days. I really recommend this as a vacation to our listeners. If you're thinking of some place that's fairly close to home, reasonably inexpensive, you certainly aren't going to pay Cape Cod-type prices in Oregon and Washington. We've talked about that previously on the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman with you here, along with Chris Galloway. We're in Anacortes, which is the gateway to the San Juan Islands, part of the area around Puget Sound, enjoying spectacular weather, and with a group of 24 sports leisure travelers who are riding ferry boats and, dare I say, supporting the economy in all of these little towns along the way. People getting back on the bus with packages just about everywhere we go. I think we're doing a pretty good job of supporting the folks we visit along the way, maybe making a new friend from an economic standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
Thomas, we're going to send it back to you now, and while folks are listening to this, we'll be exploring the San Juan Islands on Sunday afternoon. You have a wonderful time back there in the studio, and from Puget Sound, Mark Hoffman along with Chris Galloway for the Travel Guys.
And we are the Travel Guys, the magic of radio. This is one of those shows here on our Sunday afternoon program. If you're not driving your car, it'd be great just to sit down, shut your eyes, and listen in, and let the magic of travel unfold. With that being said, let's switch gears now and pick up Mark with this interview. Mark?
Tom, I'm here with Sherry Wyatt, and she is the Director of Public Relations, and she's for Whidbey and
Kameno
Islands. And so I know Whidbey Island because that's this kind of funny-shaped thing. It looks like a giant sea almost that the glaciers carved here in Puget Sound. What are your neighboring islands? Tell me about them.
Well, there's really several islands in Island County, but Kameno Island is the largest, and it's one that you can actually drive onto. It doesn't require a ferry. There's a big bridge, and it's filled with a lot of interesting things to see and do. Two state parks, a winery, and a brand new zip line, a canopy tours.
Wow. People who haven't been up here to Whidbey Island or haven't been here recently or never been here, this is an incredible array of scenery. As we're driving today, we're looking out at incredible vistas of just lush meadows. We're looking at the Olympic Mountain Range. We're looking at Puget Sound. Tell us a little bit about where we are now, Sherry.
Right now we're in Admiralty Head Lighthouse, which is at one of our state parks. There are seven state parks on the island, and we are in Fort Casey State Park. And this lighthouse is actually accessible for people to visit. They can climb the tower. There's a gift shop inside. And it's one of my favorite points because you're looking out at Puget Sound at the Strait of Juan de Fuca, where every ship that's going to Seattle comes right by through here.
We're on Whidbey Island, and for folks in Sacramento who are listening who don't know where Whidbey Island is, give us a little bit of a geographic run. I can tell them it's north of Seattle, but do a little better than that for us.
Well, it's only about 25 miles north of Seattle, which really makes it quite accessible. And we have, an easy drive up Interstate 5, and you leave Seattle and head here. It's right south of what we call the San Juan Islands, and it's a little area that's very accessible and easy to get to. We call it the shortest distance to far away.
And you have an airport on Oak Harbor, right? Can you still take puddle jumpers down to Seattle? They still have those?
No longer puddle jumpers, but private planes do come and go, and movie stars. But
you can drive here from SeaTac-USH in an hour or so and take the ferry. I guess at Clinton would be the best way to get over here.
That's one way. There's also something called Whidbey SeaTac Shuttle, which most of us locals know about. And it runs several trips per day out of SeaTac Airport right up through the island and has, I think, about six different stops on the island. So that's another great way to get here.
Now, last night our group had dinner, and we arrived by ferry boat from Port Townsend yesterday across the Sound. And we went up to, last night we went to Coopville for dinner, had a wonderful dinner at Christopher's, which is just one of my favorite restaurants in the whole country. I just have to tell you, the service there and the people there and their attitude there and just everything is fresh and wonderful. And the chef takes such pride in every dish that he gives out. So it really is. And consistently, Christopher's is one of the highest rated restaurants for sports leisure vacations for the year. Our travelers will always rate it. They usually give it on a bad year, it gets a 9.7 out of 10. So it's really a wonderful place. Now, today we're out kind of seeing the island. We're here at the lighthouse. We're going to go down and catch another ferry boat in Clinton and go over to Mukilteo so we can have a little lunch and wander around over there. And then we're going to come back to the island this afternoon. There are we're going to visit another little town of Langley. There's also a big naval base here on the island. So you have not only a tourism economy, but also a military economy. Tell me a little bit about how that all comes together.
Well, the Naval Air Station is really important to our community. It's rated one of the highest naval air stations in the Navy. In fact, continually is rated the highest because of their connection to the community, the volunteer hours that they provide, also their concern with the environment. And a lot of the Top Gun, you know, it's where they train pilots. You know, they're not necessarily training seamen. They're training pilots.
Yeah, they won't let us tour there very often, and usually the excuse is that, you know, there's just stuff going on here that we just can't have you wandering around the place. So,
well, some of the most remarkable jets are flying out of here, and there are a lot of families that have come and returned to Whidbey Island after their time in the Naval, you know, in their time in the Naval history. They decide to come back to Whidbey Island and live here. They come back and visit many, many times. There's lots of reunions. What you are going to see, though, is a new Naval History Museum that's really a chance for the Navy to connect with the community in a public way. And it just opened in July. So you'll have a chance to meet some of the volunteers and veterans and hear a little bit about the history and the military history, really, of the island.
So you really do have a partnership here. I've sensed this before and been told this before on previous visits, but it really is true that there is a partnership here that is somewhat unique. I mean, every community that has a military base in or near it has, it always has an impact. There's always a relationship. But here it feels like it's not a relationship as much as it is a partnership.
I would agree. It's definitely a partnership. And one of the beautiful things about Whidbey Island is that it's often Hollywood has kept an eye on us, and a lot of film projects come here. And the Naval Air Station is very cooperative with those film companies, too. So we work in partnership with those and maybe stop the training for a few minutes to let the film, you know, Kevin Costner needed to stop the jets flying for some of his project, so we did that.
We're talking, Tom, with Sherry Wyatt. We're on Whidbey Island in Washington, just north of Seattle. We're talking about some of the incredible scenery, the things to do here. Tourism has become an important part of the economy here, yes?
Yes, definitely. It gives over $138 million to the county, and it's you know, one out of every four jobs. It's related to tourism in one way or another.
Have the people here, I know that people here are really concerned about the quality of life and about maintaining the quality of life. Have they embraced tourism here? Is that a partnership also?
We've definitely embraced tourism in a way that we can share our island but still do it respectfully without desecrating it. So we're right in front of that by creating more and more self-guided tours and maps so people can enjoy the island and still respect it and feel that maybe they're a little bit like a local and want to come back again and again and see the island the way they first visited it. So tourism is really considered an important part of the economy, but we welcome it. We just want to make sure that we have a way of continuing to share our island.
Now, folks who are coming up here, Sherry, to visit you on Whidbey Island, you told us that there are a few hotels. My group's staying in a nice Best Western in Oak Harbor, but there are not a lot of chain hotels. There are not a lot of large properties, but you mentioned there are a lot of bed and breakfasts, and that tends to perk people's ears up. Can you tell me a little bit about the accommodations on the island?
There are probably over 100 bed and breakfasts and also
wow.
Cabins that you can rent on the beach and homes that are open for rentals. So there's a lot of different ways to visit the island. Some of the historic B&Bs are some of my favorites because that way you're connecting with an innkeeper who knows all the secret ins and outs and can give you tips on where to hike, where to shop, where to eat dinner. So they turn into tour guides themselves. So I recommend those as well as some of our hotels and our grander inns. We even have an inn with a spa in Langley, so there is a wide variety of lodging.
And there's little farmers markets. I think we're hoping to run into one of those this afternoon and maybe tomorrow morning. And so, of course, September is a spectacular time to come to Puget Sound. It's in my opinion, it's the best time. Of course, that's why I've chosen that to bring my tour here for the last dozen or so years. But is anything else that we should tell our listeners about Whidbey Island and about why they should come here?
Well, one of the beauties of Whidbey Island is that it is accessible all year round. You don't have to come during the peak season. You can come during the winters and have the beaches all to yourselves, maybe have a discount on your room rate. I recommend really looking at this as a destination any time of the year. It's easy to get to, and we're in a rain shadow, so we have a little less rain, about 18 inches less than Seattle.
Thank you, Sherry. Mark and Sherry from Whidbey Island. Back to you, Tom.
Coming up after the news, one final word with Mark from Puget Sound right here on KFBK. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK, 93.1 FM and 1530 AM. I'm Tom Romano, and as you've probably guessed here on the Travel Guys show today, we've got kind of a potpourri of programming. We've got stuff that we've recorded not too long ago that we've been playing back interviews, and right now live coming to us from San Juan Islands in Puget Sound at the, I'm afraid to say this, but I'll say it anyway, Roach Harbor Resort.
You got it.
I'm hoping, Mark, that that name soon goes away for those people. I mean, I don't know if I would want to call my, use the name Roach in my...
It's R-O-C-H-E, if that makes you feel any better.
Yes, much better now.
It is. Tom, it's a spectacular day here in the San Juan Islands. We're at beautiful Roach Harbor. We've just finished a sightseeing trip that I mentioned in earlier in the hour. And I've had a lovely lunch here. This is really a great spot. If you come out to the San Juan Islands, this is San Juan Island, per se. And this is the main island. Some folks may know it because they've been in on the ferry boat in Friday Harbor. And we also have, there's other resorts on the island here. We're doing a little sightseeing. And I'm guessing it's probably up around that triple-digit mark in Sacramento. But it's a beautiful about 75 degrees here in the San Juans today.
Mark, you've taken sports, leisure, vacations, travelers there over the years. What are the two or three comments that you continually get back from, feedback you get from your travelers about this particular trip?
Most people, Tom, don't realize that there's something this amazing this close to Sacramento. I mean, it's an hour and a half plane flight to Seattle, and we're on a tour, per se, but you could rent a car and be in the Sam. You could be in Anacortes from Seattle in a couple of hours and be on a ferry boat. You could make it. You could leave Sacramento on a flight at 10 o'clock in the morning and be eating dinner in the San Juan Islands in the evening without really too much trouble. And the fun part of this trip is the intermodal part of it, the fact that it takes a ferry boat to get out here. I mean, unless you fly in on a seaplane, the only way you're coming to the San Juan Islands is in some type of boat, either on your own or on the Washington State ferry system.
Now, does the ferry system, does it actually, when you guys travel over to the islands from the what you would call the mainland, are you able to actually load your motor coach on the ferry?
You are. We take our bus with us everywhere we go. We didn't bring the bus today out to the islands, but we could have.
Uh-huh.
We had a smaller coach available to us here, and we're going back on Sunday evening. And Sunday evening is a notoriously tight time for vehicles on the ferry. So we chose to come out just as walk-on customers today. And certainly you could do that. You could go to Anacortes if you were traveling individually, park your car, come out to the islands for the day. Get on one of the sightseeing buses and make it all the way around the island, or just hang out in Friday Harbor. So it really is. And I should mention, Tom, that the prices up in this area, if you compare them to resort areas in other parts of the country, are really quite fair and quite reasonable, especially considering this is somewhat of a short season up here. These folks are mainly focused on the summer. And in about 2 weeks, the ferry boats will cut back their schedule and everybody will pretty much button down for the winter.
Now, of course, everybody knows that Seattle is famous for its weather and a lot of rain. And now the area that you're in, does it pretty much have the same kind of weather that you would just have right in Seattle?
Yeah, and it does. Whidbey Island, which is in between here and Seattle, actually has a little rain pocket that where it gets about half as much rain as the rest of the area. But they get 35, 40 inches of rain up here a year in good years. That's why it's so green. Very little snow because they're very close to sea level. But so the temperatures are reasonably mild for the Pacific Northwest. But certainly in the summertime up here, these folks pay their dues in the winter. But I'll tell you what, when it's nice here in the summertime, it's as nice as anywhere on the planet. And we have been blessed with an entire week of just picture-perfect weather this week. I know you all have been panting and sweating a little bit down there, but it's pretty nice here. It's supposed to be 80 in Seattle tomorrow, if you can believe that.
You're listening to The Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano. That's Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations live at this on the San Juan Island in the Puget Sounds. Been there for several days. And if you missed the first part of the show, we had some interviews with some folks there. And you can revisit those at travelguysradio.com anytime you like. Mark, you flew from Sacramento to Seattle. Now, how was the flight? How were the prices, and what's going on with airfare right now to Seattle? It sounds like
it's fall, so this is a great time. Really, after Labor Day, not only is places like Hawaii, and we mentioned Tahiti earlier, being unsealed at this time of the year, but also just about any destination after Labor Day experiences a significant fall off. So you can, if you're willing to travel midweek, you can pick up some very good airfares, and especially once you get past Labor Day in the Pacific Northwest, stay away from the weekends, and you're going to get some pretty dynamite prices in hotels and resorts and the like.
All right, Mark, before we head off to New York for a little interview with Tony the Pizza Guy, why don't we do this week's Sports Leisure Vacations travel winner?
Oh, okay, and I happen to have brought that with me this week. Our winner this week, our lucky Sports Leisure traveler, is Elda Troop. Elda was with us on a baseball trip about a week and a half ago. We won't even mention what happened to the Giants last night. But Elda is our lucky winner for this week. Elda, you've won a $50 gift card, and if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday and tell us you heard your name on the radio, we'll make it $100.
Mark, thanks for the update. You travel safe. And listeners, we're going to take a mini break, and then we're going to be back with the famous Brooklyn Pizza Tour. So keep it here on KFBK. Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. Tom Romano, I'm here on the right, as always.
Always on the right?
I guess.
You're always
I'm
right.
I'm always right.
Yeah, I talked to your wife about that one. You remember, you can follow along with everything that we do on the program today by going to travelguysradio.com. And you can see links to not only all the things we mentioned on the program, but some other interesting things that we just put up there from time to time to keep you occupied if you take the time to visit our website.
Last week, it was a tour preview day, and I got a chance to meet one of Mark's New York buddies,
yeah.
Tony.
Tell me about Tony.
And what
Brooklyn.
Our listeners are going to be listening to here in a minute.
We've got a fun piece for you here now, for those of you who are listening. You know, folks talk about how radio is theater of the mind. Tom, you've done this for years, so you know it's. So first, we want to introduce you to Tony Muya. Tony Muya is the man who runs Slice of Brooklyn Pizza Tours in Brooklyn. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about that, but we're going to take you on the tour. First, we want you to meet Tony.
So this is Tony Muya.
Hi, folks.
Wow, you have your own fan club.
As we say in Brooklyn, how you doing?
Tony, you've been doing it for the last 2 years. You've taken Sports Leisure Travelers on a Slice of Brooklyn Pizza Tour. Let me say that. You've taken Sports Leisure Travelers on a Slice of Brooklyn Pizza Tour.
That's it.
Yeah, that's better. Forget about it. How long... You've been doing these tours for a while.
Yeah, August 1st was 9 years that we've been doing these tours. I started the company after 20 years in healthcare as a way of showing people, introducing them to Brooklyn's foods, neighborhoods, landmarks, movie locations.
So you were in healthcare, and now you went into the tour business.
Yeah. No, I did 20 years in healthcare, and my hobby as a proud Brooklynite was showing people around. People would ask me where Ebbets Field was.
So how'd you get the idea for pizza?
Well, you know, Brooklyn pizza and Brooklyn are just synonymous, you know. So for me, it was just a natural progression, and I couldn't do healthcare anymore. I just couldn't do it. I thought, you know what, I've been doing these informal tours for years. What if we get it on a bus? We use the screens of the bus to show you the movie locations and use the clips. So it really just became, from a passion, it became a career.
So is this just you, or is it a family thing?
Good question. It's myself. It's my cousin Paula. We have some other local Brooklyn born and raised and licensed tour guide.
So wait a minute. So it's a bunch of Italian guys in Brooklyn.
Yes.
This is starting to look a little shady to me.
I don't know nothing.
This is... Yeah, your cousin Vinny and your... Yeah, yeah.
I have a cousin Vinny.
You do have a cousin Vinny? What I told you? Yeah.
Mark, you sure you're not actually from Brooklyn? That's a pretty good accent, my man. You did Tennessee last week.
It's fun. You go around to a lot of different places, and you kind of tell you pick up. New York is an easy accent to pick up. All you got to do is know how to say forget about it, you know, and then you're okay. So now we're going to do something really fun. Folks have met Tony. So now we're going to take you on a little journey on the Slice of Pizza Brooklyn tour in Brooklyn, thanks to our friends from WestJet Airlines.
I started this Slice of Brooklyn Pizza tour that you're on today 8 years ago this month. It is now the number one tour of Brooklyn on TripAdvisor. Okay? So thank you. Thank you. So you're in good hands today.
Tony.
Hey, Katie.
You're going to take me on the Slice of Brooklyn tour. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I wanted people to experience Brooklyn's favorite food, neighborhoods, landmarks, and famous movie locations. It's really the best way to see Brooklyn from a native standpoint.
Right. So there's more beyond Manhattan.
My company slogan, it's officially Manhattan, forget about it.
There you go.
Yeah. This is the line at Grimaldi's. Not that you guys need to worry, because we go right past it. Believe this line. Come on down, you guys. This is the classic margarita-style pizza here at Grimaldi's. And normally what we do is we fold it over like that and take a bite. How amazing is that? The secret is that oven. Look at that char on the bottom. So the crust is crispy yet chewy at the same time. And that mozzarella, there's nothing like it. It stretches differently, it melts differently, it chews differently when you bite into it.
As the tour takes you through neighborhoods like Sunset Park, Bay Ridge, and Brighton Beach, you have time to build up an appetite for the second round of pizza.
So this is the classic L&B Spumoni Garden Sicilian-style pizza. The mozzarella is right under the sauce.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, nobody else does that. That's classic Sicilian-style. You've got waves of immigrants that came over from Italy making styles of pizza like this, that when we bring people here, they go, this is how my Sicilian grandmother made it. And that's what's so special about Brooklyn pizza in particular.
It's the real deal. So good. I've never tried something like this.
No, I would eat a shoe if you put this sauce on it. That's how good it is.
Tony, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. What did you think of the tour?
Ah, forget about it.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, I don't know if my if I could sustain that entire trip from one kind of pizza to the other. I probably wouldn't be able to eat for a week.
Coney Island and all the great places. The whole he has a on his tour. He does the French Connection movie chase scene. You got to be an older guy to remember the French Connection with Gene Hackman. There's a great chase scene in that movie. It was filmed under the subway in Brooklyn. And Tony takes you along, and he's showing you the video clips as you go by. And a lot of the places are still there that were there 30 or 40 years ago when they did this movie. And so it's really like being in a moment in time. You've been taken back to a moment in time. Same thing with Coney Island, the Cyclone roller coaster. And Brooklyn's really, you know, they got an arena and a basketball team there now. And, I mean, Brooklyn is big time.
The Brooklyn version of the Magic Bus.
And, you know, Tom, a good, very good point. That's
without the screens.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. And if you've Grimaldi's Pizza, which is now available in different parts of the country, there's a couple of them in Vegas. There might even be one in Sacramento, for all I know. Grimaldi's Pizza is a really flash cooked. It's in a very hot oven, and it's a very thin, crispy crust. And it's really just some of the best pizza that you can possibly imagine. And Tony just brings Brooklyn to life. So if you're ever in New York City and you're looking for something to do, it's a Slice of Brooklyn. It is the name of the tour, Slice of Brooklyn Pizza Tour. You can Google it. We have a link on our website if you'd like to see it. But not just when you go on tour with us, but when you go on your own to New York City or you have friends going to New York, there is no better way to spend 4 hours out of your day than to go out and see Brooklyn with Tony.
And there we go, traveling with Theater of the Mind on the Travel Guys. More to come here on News Radio 1530 KFBK.
If you plan to
move west. Hi there, this is Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And in the background, the music of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Canon. Of course, Sports Leisure Vacations, underwriter of a lot of programming on PBS. And if you watch PBS, no doubt you've run across Trans-Siberian Orchestra over the years. The Ghost of Christmas Eve, one of the main shows, been running over the last seven straight years. And I'm pleased to have on the line with me the music director for TSO, Al Petrelli. Al, how are you?
I'm well, Tom. Thanks for that introduction, and thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me today.
Well, Al, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra has become an early Christmas tradition here in Sacramento, as you guys always show up at about November, and it's kind of like kicks off the holiday season for a lot of folks. Tell me, each year you do something a little bit different. What do you have in store for everyone coming out to the Sleep Train on November the 26th this year?
Well, we're going to shift gears on everybody again this year. 2 years ago, my boss and the gentleman who created the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Paul O'Neill, he came out to me and said, listen, we've been doing Christmas Eve and Other Stories, which is the first of three rock operas he had written for the holidays. We've been doing that for about 10 or 11 years. He decided 2 years ago he wanted to change up, which I was a little terrified, to say the least, because, you know, we've kind of become part of a lot of folks' holiday tradition and, you know, just, you know, Christmas tradition, I guess. And a lot of people love the story that he and John Oliva wrote. I didn't know if, you know, change was going to work, but 2 years ago we changed to The Lost Christmas Eve, and it worked. It exceeded all expectations. It just worked so well. We're going to bring a new rock opera to you guys, and I'm kind of convinced that Paul does it just so he could add more special effects, you know? I think he wants more pyro, more lasers, and you know, if he keeps kind of, you know, me and management, you know, Adam Lind and Kenny Kaplan kind of, you know, happy and saying, okay, we're going to change it. It's going to be awesome. I just think secretly he just wants to blow the arena up even more than he's done in years past.
We're talking with Al Petrelli, music director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Al, tell our listeners a little bit about the storyline behind The Christmas Attic.
Well, the story is, again, one of Paul's beautifully written Frank Capra-esque tales, you know, about Christmas Eve and a child creeping into, you know, the attic of the house that she lives in. So the only way I could explain it to you is when I was a kid, my great-grandmother's attic was the, like, most magical secret place ever when I was a little boy, you know. All the family secrets seemed to be, you know, kept up there, letters and photos from when everybody came over from the old country, you know, all those kind of things. And I related to the story when Paul explained it to me when we recorded this back in 1997, because I remember, you know, poking around and looking at things and getting a sense of family history, you know. Who is this guy, Nanny? Who is that? You know, all those kind of things. This is kind of what that story is, where there's a whole box of unopened letters, and they become, you know, little vignettes that are all kind of tied together towards the end of the story, and only the way that Paul O'Neill can do it. And it's just an exploration in through a child's eyes of, you know, mystery and what happened when, and, you know, whose phone number was, you know, all these little things, you know, redemption and love and loss and all the things that have made Paul O'Neill and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra popular amongst the community that's been embraced, that we've been embraced by.
Now, a lot of you may have only have seen the TSO TV special, The Ghost of Christmas Eve, been running the last 7 years on PBS, Channel 6. Al, for those folks, tell them what's in store when they come for a live performance at the Sleep Train Arena to see TSO live.
Well, they're just blown away that not only is the PBS special just fascinating with, you know, Ozzie Davis and Jewel and Michael Crawford and all those people that, you know, we were so privileged to have with us, but when we perform live, we even take that a step further. I mean, one thing is to do it take after take after take on film, you know, through your television. It's another thing to perform live at this level and have it be flawless, not only musically, but visually as well. And again, we have, like, just the most incredible bunch of people working for us. You know, it's unbelievable.
You know, Al, one of the things I've noticed about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas program is it's a show for both adults and kids. They both enjoy this show. There's truly something there for everybody.
Families come, three generations of people sitting together, enjoying yourself, having the time of your life, you know, because Paul wrote that kind of story that everybody enjoys. It's unbelievable to watch. I mean, I'll look out and I'll see, like, a little girl standing up on her granddaddy's knee watching the show, and they're both just having the time of their lives. I mean, that's something that was not written into, you know, like the TSO handbook all those years ago when this thing was created by Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Al, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Okay, buddy, we'll see you in November.
Thank you so much for your time. All my best to your family.
Thank you, my friend. See you next time. And we want to thank you, our listeners, listening to the Travel Guys radio program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We'll be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Bring your expertise, because we have prizes for being travel experts next week here on the program. You have a great week. From Mark and Tom, see you next time.